This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, howdy, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I am Denise Raymond, also from Ocala, Florida. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for April 25th, episode 1684. This episode is brought to you by Horseware. Good morning, Horse World.
Good Tuesday morning to you. And I do mean a good Tuesday morning.
Well, if you insist on being accurate about it.
You know, only somebody with perfect comedic timing could produce this much energy in one shot.
You gotta learn that your time in the saddle ain't as rough as the life in between. And the fence isn't there for you to straddle. And you can't change horses in the middle of your dream.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us on this Tuesday morning here at Horses in the Morning. We appreciate you stopping by. It's Western Day,
Yay!
And we have Denise here. Hi, Denise.
Hello, Glenn.
It's good to have you stop by again.
Thank you.
And actually literally stop by. She's in the studio.
I love this up close and personal experience we get here.
I know. I'd love to be able to see my co-host occasionally, too. It's kind of nice to actually see there's an actual person at the other end. It's nice.
Don't you forget, though, like if you have somebody sitting in the studio with you, do you remember still that you're on the radio?
Yes.
You do?
I do, yes, because I have all these screens and things in front of me.
Well, I can just tell you, you make your co-host when you're sitting across from you, you feel like you're just chatting with you.
Yeah, well, so. And you know, I have to warn people that are guests, because I'm always looking at the screens to make sure everything's still working, that I'm not ignoring you. It seems weird for them that I'm not looking at them when I'm talking to them. You know, I might be looking a different direction, but... That comes from 9 years of not having a ghost in the studio.
In this digital age, we're not used to anybody looking at
That's
us when
true.
We talk to them.
That's true. That is so true. Well, Jennifer, we're going to go to you right away, fine, because we've got a lot to do on today's show.
Coming up on today's very busy Western with Horseware episode, self-proclaimed old cowgirl Andrea McMillan Pearson is going to stop by with lessons learned from a barrel racer. And then next up, we learn about country tough competitions with Brandy Van Holten. And just before the fireworks start, our favorite cowgirl in the kitchen, Jill Stanford, is here with a recipe, and we're going to do some taste testing on the air.
Yay!
So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
My favorite kind of show. I get to eat during the show. That's my favorite kind of show.
I think that's why you invited me here, isn't it?
That is. You brought food this time. Thank you so much for that. I'm just going to make that a requirement now, that people have to bring food we can try if they come to the studio.
Bribery will make you famous. Bring food.
That's right. Except that most horse girls that come in here don't cook.
Ah, I love to cook.
Yeah, you do. And your husband cooks too.
He's just started. And I think he's doing that as his way of asserting dominance in the kitchen or something.
Or he just doesn't like what
you cook. I hope you're not listening, honey.
Or he just doesn't like what you cook. One or the other.
Well, there is that too. We eat totally different. So that could be it.
Well, let's do our daily whinnies, because we do that at the start of every show. Well, my daily whinny goes out to everybody, all hundreds of you that wished me a happy birthday yesterday. I really appreciate that. You know, Facebook has made birthdays more fun.
It definitely has. It definitely has. Because you feel like everybody knows, everybody cares.
Right, exactly. Even if they don't, they're just writing it in there.
Yeah, that's definitely.
Because, you know, it used to be, if you think pre-Facebook, there would be three people, and usually family members, that remembered it was your birthday. There might have been others that remembered, but they didn't do anything about it.
Right. And they send you a card or they call you or something, and now you get hundreds of...
Do you get any birthday cards in the mail anymore?
Yes, my parents. Actually, I come from a family where it's mandatory and expected that you send them to mom, dad, and grandma.
There you go.
And you get them from mom, dad, and grandma.
Since Jennifer's parents went on Facebook, we don't get them from them anymore either.
Really? Well, see, I kind of like getting them from mom and dad because usually they come with the check.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Geez, Jennifer, we that stopped a long time ago.
Well, I mean, the checks have gotten smaller as I've gotten older, but at least, you know, it's kind of nice to get something. It's a thought, yeah. Let's see. I have a Daily Winnie. I was going to give it to my horse. And
oh, wait a minute.
Oh, sorry.
It's your own music.
Okay, I was going to give my Daily Winnie to my horse, but then I got to thinking about my other half washing dishes last night after I wrecked the kitchen and realized that perhaps I better give my Daily Winnie to my darling Bill for washing not only all my dishes from cooking last night, but all his. For like an hour last night. So, thanks, darling.
Well, while you're at it, my wife has started washing the dishes. I know.
What are we doing right
then? I don't know. See, I had this rule. My parents were the type that my dad obsessed about getting the dishes washed immediately when dinner was over. So you'd have to get up immediately and wash the dishes. And I just said, when I become an adult, I'm never washing the dishes at night. And I don't.
Really?
I wash them the next morning because I can't. I just am rebelling.
Okay, so when does Jennifer do it?
She does it now at night, like before we go to bed, though, not immediately after dinner. I just think that's rude, you know, to like everybody's sitting around and then all of a sudden you're getting up washing the dishes.
Yeah,
I always thought it was rude.
People did it in my family and I'm like, you, I never really wanted to do it, and I'm very grateful that my other half is doing the dishes now. Because
me too.
I don't. Y'all don't have a dishwasher, do you? You have a dishwasher, don't you?
Yeah, but you can't wash the pots. There's certain dishes you just can't wash in the dishwasher. So they go. It's always pots and pans. And you know that cooking thing always makes dishes no matter what you do.
I know. Cooking is so much fun, but washing dishes just sucks.
You're absolutely
not
right.
Not too much.
That's why I like my Instant Pot. Because that's only one pot. I love my Instant Pot. Well, we're going to talk about food more later on. Well, you know, we're expecting a call here very shortly from Stolen Horse International. We'll get to that as soon as they come in because there were two horses that were stolen here recently that we wanted to highlight and make sure we get out there. But while we're waiting for that, you did a trail ride over the weekend and came across something that not too many people have come across on a trail ride.
That is true. I'm guessing that most people that trail ride don't come across a downed plane every day.
It was like a Cessna that had crashed in the woods.
It was. Now, I did some research and it appears that it was sort of a homemade plane the guy had made. And apparently 3.5 years ago or so, this fella came up missing in the woods and they didn't find him. I mean, the plane just disappeared. And they did big searches in all the big forests around here and he was only going a short distance. And he disappeared. So 6 months later, somebody's walking their dog in the woods and they stumble across the plane. And they report it. They retrieve the remains. And according to the news, they removed the plane. Well, the plane's still there.
Still there.
The plane is still there.
It was kind of freaky seeing your picture.
And so we were riding and one of the girls we were riding with says, do you want to see the plane? And I said, sure, I want to see the plane, you know. So she dragged us off the beaten track and we went traipsing off through the woods on our horses that are like ATVs. We're so lucky to have great trail horses and came right up to this plane.
Yeah, because rural woods, Florida can get pretty overgrown and thick.
It was. And I mean, there was a little tiny track. Apparently, there are other people that
go
and visit
the plane.
Because there's a little kind of a deer trail going back to it. But it amazed me because it was so shiny. The plane was all shiny and clean.
It looked like it had just crashed.
And it wasn't grown up around it, which seemed really strange to me given that it's been 3 years.
Yeah, it was weird, too. I thought about that, too. Yeah. I thought it would look overgrown and it'd be weeds and stuff.
I know, but it's all shiny. And especially, we've had no rain. It was, and it just looked like it crashed a few days ago. So, pretty interesting.
Thankfully, you weren't the first to find it.
I wouldn't have wanted to be the guy that found the skeleton.
The remains.
Thanks, but no thanks.
Yep. Well, it was an unusual thing to find when you're trail riding.
It is. It's probably one of the more unusual things that I've seen out trail riding.
We do have some great trail riding around here, and it's so prehistoric Florida forest when it you go is. Out there.
It feels like you're riding through something like Land of the Lost sometimes. You get into these places where there's big...
Especially the lichen fields.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, everybody knows lichen because that's what they use to make the little trees and model train sets when you're a kid.
Really?
That's lichen. And when you see the... That's what it reminds me of when you see... I didn't know where lichen came from when I, you know, up until this day, until we went riding around here, I was like, there's a lichen field. It's like a field of lichen. And I was like, I don't know. And it looks just like it does when you put it on the train set.
They're probably marketing it to train manufacturers.
Exactly.
Right?
Somebody's out there picking it.
Yes.
All right. Well, we do have Debbie joining us who is going to be surprised to hear your voice on the show this morning. Good morning, Debbie.
Good morning, Glenn.
Good. Debbie is with Stolen Horse.
How are you doing?
Good. Debbie's with Net Posse and Stolen Horse International, been on the show many, many, many times, but you've never been on with Denise Raymond before, who says she knows you from a long time ago.
Good morning, Debbie.
No, I have not been on with her. Good morning, Denise.
Usually when I talk to Debbie, it's in person when I see her at things up in the Carolinas.
Uh-huh. Sure is.
Well, now, Debbie, you're on for a reason, and that reason is, it's never a happy reason when we have you on, Debbie, and today is no exception. There were a couple horses that were taken, and you're going to give us the report on it, and these are kind of unique horses, too.
Yes, these are Carolina Marsh Tacky horses. There's only 400 of these horses in the world. And 325 of them are in South Carolina. These two horses have disappeared out of their pasture. The fence has been cut during a rainstorm, and they are presumed stolen because of the cut fence. But we're still listing them as missing until we get the official report from the police. But these horses, you know, we're not sure what the people that took them are doing with them. I mean, because they are a very rare breed. They're used by the Marsh Tacky Horse Breed Association as the official heritage horse, and they go to different educational programs, you know, to talk about this particular breed. So they're ambassadors of the breed. So we're really trying hard to find them before something, you know, terrible happens to them.
And I'm looking at the pictures here. They both appear to be about 14 hands, about 6 years old. There's one appears to be dark bay and one lighter bay, maybe, according to the pictures. And this is in Kershaw County, South Carolina?
Kershaw County, South Carolina.
And what town? Is it a big town? That's near?
Just outside Camden, isn't it, Debbie?
Yes, it's just outside Camden. The owners live somewhere else, but the horses were in Camden, South Carolina.
Okay. And
they're just basic-looking bay horses, so people could mistake them for just about any kind of horse.
Yeah, there's nothing real distinctive about them. They look like almost every other horse in the field, which is unfortunate because the paints are easier to find.
Now, were these riding horses or famous horses or something, or just...
Well, you know, I'm not really sure about that. Hopefully Jody or Jackie will call in and they can give us more information. But as soon as we got the report, you know, we tried to get out everything that we could as quick as possible. And so I personally, y'all, don't handle the reports anymore. We have a great reports manager out of South Carolina, Pam Miller, and she's working on this personally. So she has more information than I have. But I just wanted to make sure we got this information out there so people could go to the website, they can see the horses, and they can print the flyer and post it in all kinds of places. And they can also go to our Facebook page and share it.
Are there any?
It would be a shame. It's a shame to lose. Go ahead.
I was going to ask, are there any, and I'm asking this of Denise, too, because she used to live up there.
I know what you're going to ask.
Are there any auctions in the area?
I think there was one either over the weekend or next weekend. I'm not sure which, in Somerville area. I saw it advertised. That was funny. I just read your mind.
Yeah, well, and if you're going to that auction here coming up, maybe print the flyers and post them up there and take a look yourself, too. They do both have stars on the foreheads, it looks like, so... stars some kind of can be distinctive as well, and there's good pictures on the website. What website did they go to again?
They go to netposse.com. They're featured on the homepage. If you look at the little scrolling bar, they'll be the first ones up today. But it's they're both bay. One's a mare and one's a gelding. But when it comes to where these horses could be, they could be anywhere now. And it doesn't, they usually don't go to an auction close by if they go to one. So anywhere within a 500-mile area, I would say start there.
Well,
because the people who take the horses can go to any auction.
And Debbie, we just looks like Jody just called in, who is the missing horses owner. Good morning, Jody.
Hey, Gwen, how you doing, sir? Thank you for having us on.
No problem. So, first of all, I'm so sorry that this happened. Now, always we hear listeners and listeners' minds is, are we sure the horses just didn't get out? You're pretty sure because the wire was cut, the hot wire?
That's correct. The hot wire that goes around the fence, and, I mean, it was cut. There's no doubt it was cut. The gate was locked as well. That lock is missing or gone. And so no, they just didn't wander off.
And you guys have been having horrible rainstorms, and they did it during one of the rainstorms.
We believe it was done, late Sunday night or early Monday morning. And that's correct. Yeah. We've had some really bad rains, the last couple of days, and in looking at the gate in the area, you really can't tell, footprints, paths, that kind of thing.
Is there any word? Has there been any other horses in your immediate area taken at this point?
No, and that's what's surprising us, the sheriff's department, and the community at large, is that this just doesn't happen around this area. The Borkin community is just outside of Camden, and Camden is a big equestrian community. And it's just not a problem we have here. It's not something, you think about it in the back of your head, but it's not something that you have to go to sleep every night wondering, will tonight be the night kind of thing.
Are these
horses? Well, actually, we have had it happen in that area before, but, because it doesn't get out into the news media, the general public or even the horse community doesn't hear about it.
Yeah. And were you riding these horses? Are they broke?
Oh, yes, they are. They're broke. We had just done an event down the way at McCaskill Farms for farm days. And we'll typically take a troop of horses over, seven or so we had that Saturday. And what we do is we were giving kids pony rides on them. They're that gentle. So, we were able to do that. The horses are also trained in cavalry maneuvers. We use them in reenacting with the cadets from the Citadel. The horse is just a great, great platform. And like Debbie had said earlier, these are heritage horses. There's only about 400 of them left in the world. So anytime anyone asks for a history lesson, how the horse, the only indigenous horse to South Carolina, we'll take these horses out to schools, to community centers, to festivals and events. It's just a great learning platform. And we're literally sick and heartbroken that these two horses are gone.
I bet. Well, we shared it on our Facebook pages. It's on Net Posse, and I know the way the horse world works. This is going to be shared about 1,000 times today. So,
I'm sure it will.
We
I'm
all
sure
know. Thank you. Thank you to social media and to Debbie for doing what she does, but to social media for helping us get the word out, and hopefully we can get these horses back for you. And I'm so sorry this happened. This is every horse owner's nightmare right here. And
yes, it is, Glenn. Yes, it is. And a big shout out to Pam as well. Debbie put me in touch with her, and she's been very helpful for us.
Well, good luck, and good luck to both of you. And we'll continue posting it and helping get the word out.
Glenn, I appreciate
Thank
it. Thank you.
So
you have a great day.
All right, take care,
Thank
guys.
You. Bye-bye.
Well, bye-bye, y'all.
That is never something that you want to hear about, and it just. Don't you, every time you hear this, go, this could happen to me?
Yes, yeah. It definitely does. Oh, it's scary to think that at least these horses, it sounds like they, if somebody took them, unlike here in Florida, they probably aren't going somewhere to be eaten.
Well,
but I mean, that's a small consolation, but I'm really hopeful that they find their horses.
Yeah, and you think because they had just done that event, you know, did somebody know about, you know, see those particular horses at the event? You always have to think about that too, right?
I wonder if they have a distinctive gait that would be noticeable if somebody
I don't know much about marsh tackies.
Well, you know, we had that girl on about maybe a month or so ago with the race.
Yeah.
The race on the beach. But all we got from that was that they go really fast on the beach.
That's true. Well, we wish him luck.
Yes.
All right. Why don't you introduce our next guest?
Our next guest this morning is Andrea McMillan Person. She is an old cowgirl and I came across her from the Facebook site, Old Cowgirls Never Die, They Keep on Riding. She's from North Carolina, and she just started barrel racing this past year at the grand age of 50. Andrea, are you with us?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
I'm doing great. I also have my co-host, Glenn, here.
Yeah, I just want to know, were you riding really slow up until 50, and then you decided that just wasn't good anymore? I need to speed it up.
No, not actually. We've ridden since my girls were small. I wanted a horse after I got married, and I had a pony as a child and decided that I wanted a horse. So when my youngest was 3, we got into horses. And not that I was riding slow. It's just that my girls are grown and gone away, and one of my cousin's daughters wanted to barrel race. So I said, hey, I got 6 horses over here. Come pick one. So she started it. And then about a year ago or so, she gave me a little kind of challenge, kind of called me an old woman. And I was like, oh, wait a minute. So that's how I got started.
Well, great. And so then did you start taking lessons, or did you just hop on and say, let's run around the barrels, or how did that start?
Well, she's had lessons, so I'm following her lead. Alyssa McMillan is my cousin's daughter, and she's in college, her second year. And so I'm letting her kind of teach me what to do. Like I said, I've ridden, and, you know, in my younger days, we'd do anything. We'd jump ditches, we'd ride as fast as we could.
Oh, of course we all did.
And so I just decided, oh yeah. And now it's kind of like, I told her my goal is not to fall off at any of the barrels in public.
In public.
And be seen on the ground. In public, yeah. We can do all we want at home, but, you know, I'm staying in the saddle if I can. And it's been really fun. Last year, I won a little bit of money. Yeah,
oh,
4D,
wow.
But that's okay. So,
well, that puts you 99% ahead of most horse people out there.
I know. I've never won any money.
I'm still in the hall, though. and anyone that has horses knows that.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. It's been a blast with her. She's, you know, college, and she's fun, and we go and we have a good time, and we, you know, I run as fast as I can, and then I get all the hints and tips when I come back of, you should do this, do that. And I'm like, I can't think of all of that at one time. I just can't.
Now,
but hey, I'm still in the saddle.
That's right. Yeah.
Now, how old is your barrel horse? And is he or she new to it?
Candy is about, let me think here. She's a homebred mare. She would be 17 or 18, I think.
Oh, good age.
We bred her and her brother here on our farm. They were our first babies born here. And she is actually was my oldest daughter's horse, but she couldn't take her with her because my oldest one is in Wyoming, and she lives in Bondurant, Wyoming, and that's where she ended up. And she said, Mom, they just won't make it here. They're not used to the same environment. The weathers are pretty severe. But she's done a lot of trail riding. You know, she's basically just been, and that's basically what we did, a lot of trail riding. My youngest daughter, I think, did a little bit of playing with her, but she was into English hunting and jumping, so she had a Morgan that she did all that with, and we just decided that she was a good candidate. She's always been the fastest one in the pasture, but she's got some injuries. She seems to be injury prone, but if you saw her run, you wouldn't know it unless you knew which leg it was that she'd really injured. But we just decided to take a chance. They're standing out there eating, and I said, let's just do it. If she pulls up lame or something, we'll quit. We got six horses. We'll just trade off.
That's the beauty of having lots of horses. There's always one more.
Yeah, but she's very smart little mare, and though she's not big, she's, you know, kind of concise. She's really quick, and she's really good about her job. She Alyssa tells me, she said, don't worry about her running past the first barrel. She won't. It's like she knows, and she comes up looking for the second one. So I just trust her and hang on.
Oh, that's great. Now, what would be your biggest tip for people who are getting into barrel racing at the grand age of 50? How do we win?
How do you win?
Hang on and don't get in the horse's way. That's right.
Yeah, hang on and, you know, trust your horse to do their job. You know, make sure you got a good, smart horse because a lot of the times they're going to take care of you. I've always believed in when my girls were growing up, we had horses that had good brains. They took care of you. You know, I didn't worry about mine rearing up or flipping over or doing any of that kind of nonsense. You know, pick a good bloodline, you know, and, you know, I'm surprised. I'm not the oldest woman out there. There are women older than me that have been doing it forever, and they are not playing. They are flying around those barrels. So they inspire me, you know, because I've never done that kind of riding, but I'm learning and it's fun. And I would love to take some lessons just with work schedule and everything. I can't, but I would just say, go for it. Take, you know, watch some videos, get some help, get a good horse that's got some, you know, good brains on him that won't, you know, it's not going to throw you or purposely anyway.
Purposely.
And just go for it.
Well, the beauty
of them are kind of scary. I mean, really.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm not sure I'm quite brave enough to go flinging myself around barrels. So kudos to you. And the good thing is when you get to retire, then you can take all those lessons and have all the time for that. And then you can whoop all the younger women.
Oh, I don't know about that. These girls are tough. I really wish that I could have been riding like this when I was, you know, 16, 17, or 18, like my girls grew up and like Alyssa grew up, because it's like they just know it. My oldest daughter's advice was, Mom, your feet are all wrong. You need to just do barrel race for a bareback. And I'm just like, you are kidding, right? You're trying to get me killed.
Nothing like hanging onto a sweaty horse, right?
Exactly. She must think that I have lots of life insurance. That's all I can say.
So you're going to all these rodeos now. Does it make you want to do any of the cow events?
When we first got in the horses, we did do some of the cow finning.
Yeah.
That was a big thing around here.
That looks like fun,
Saturday
too.
Night,
it does look like
it.
Fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, what I want to do is the mounted shooting.
Yeah.
That's what I really want to do.
Well, if you learn, you got to learn barrels to do mounted shooting anyway. It's the same action, right? So, and then you learn to do it without, you know, without reins. And so that's your next step, is to do the barrels without reins, and then you're ready for mounted shooting.
Maybe you could just shoot off the barrels.
He's trying to get me killed too.
Probably be safer, actually.
You know, you put balloons on top of the barrels and just ride by and shoot them as you do the barrel.
There you go.
That's a good idea.
I just invented a new sport.
Mounted shooting is one of the fastest growing disciplines out today.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And be sure you listen to last month's Western episode, because we had the mounted shooting guy last month.
Yeah, yeah. It's so much fun to watch. And you know, of course, one of our hosts, Tammy Srantz, was like 150 times world champion.
Oh, yeah.
So she has all the trophies.
You guys do any of that mounted shooting or any of that stuff?
No, we don't personally, but it does look like fun.
Yeah. I've gone and watched, and I've even taken horses to watch, like just to stand on the sidelines and watch. I'm not really sure I'm into the noise. If we could get past the noise, I might could play with that a little bit. But then again, I'm not really sure about riding with no hands either.
Well, this looks like fun. You know, congratulations for trying something new. I just turned 55 yesterday, so I'm with you, girl. And
congratulations.
Well, you know, thank you for representing and trying something new and being out there. I think that's terrific.
Thank you.
Now, thank you so much.
And hold on, okay? Just make sure you hold on. I'm just saying. It hurts more when we fall at this age, too.
Yes.
So that's the one big thing. That is the one big thing, is at this age, is you think about it a little more than you did when you were 18, when you bounce. Yep. Yeah. Well, I think it's terrific. Thank you, Andrea.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
All right. Take care. So you're going to try barrel racing, Denise?
Maybe at a walk. Trot, maybe.
Not anytime soon.
I don't know, but now my mind's working on all these ideas, like mounted shooting from the barrel, and what about barrel racing dressage?
Well, you know, and one of our listeners, little mini Sarah, does kart
driving
mounted
barrel
shooting.
Oh, I thought there's also driving barrel racing, I believe.
Yes, and I think that's called chuck wagon racing, and that is just damn dangerous.
yeah, that seems a little crazy.
That just
crazy,
makes the rest of this ridden stuff look silly, right?
But that's right. She does
cart mounted shooting. Yeah, wow. So she shoots from the cart.
You know, that would feel a little safer.
I wonder how Scooter would feel about me shooting a gun right behind him.
I don't know. Let's go out there and try it.
I don't know if that go well. All right, let's take a break, and we're going to come right back. We are loaded with guests today. We're going to go right to something else that's new called Country Tough Competitions. And this is kind of interesting.
This.
Yeah, it is kind of interesting. But first, we have to hear from our title sponsor, Horsewear.
Another long, tough fly season is right around the corner. And the only choice for this fly season are the Amigo range of fly sheets, because they're built tough and feature the latest in design comfort, bug-busting technology, and sun-protecting fabrics. And the Amigo range has a fly sheet for every budget, from the Amigo Bug Buster Vamoose with no fly zone to the Amigo Bug Rug fly sheet. Find Amigo fly sheets at your local or online retailer, or you can visit horseware.com. That's horseware, horsewear.com.
And our next guest this morning is Brandy Van Holten. She is with the Van Holten Ranch, and she is a show judge, owner of a trail riding and camping business. She's also doing something kind of interesting that's related to a TV or reality show that we want to hear a little bit about. Brandy, are you with us?
Yes, I am here.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I am good.
Well, we are really excited to talk to you because when I was researching, I actually was looking for information on something else when I came across those competitions that are on your website. And I was reading the article about judging that you had written, and I came across that and I said, you know what? That is just too cool for school. I want to hear all about it. So when are these competitions? You have these Country Tough competitions.
Okay.
They're starting soon.
All right. Well, okay. So first of all, our last name is Von Holten, no A in the last name.
So sorry.
So if they're trying to locate these, yeah. Well, it's a good old German name, and there's Holten, Van Holten, Von Holten. And so I know that it meant something from its origin. Okay. But if people wanted to look these up and see what we're talking about, we do have vonholtenranch.com. It's VonHolten ranch.com. So Country Tough kind of has, it's taken on a life of its own. Okay. So, last year, I created some cowgirl challenges that were for teams only of cowgirls. And I filled up the first event within 24 days. So then I created another cowgirl challenge. And then that one was having a huge response. Then I was getting in trouble because the guys wanted to join. So I formed a co-ed challenge. And then after we had one of our cowgirl challenges, a lot of the teams was like, oh, I wish there was one just for one cowgirl to have to do everything. So I formed a one fly cowgirl challenge. So I can tell you all about those. Okay. So at one of our cowgirl challenges, we had a skid steer. Most people would call it like a bobcat, you know, where you had to, do, we had like a pattern you had to do, and you had to move two tires with the forks of the of our bobcat.
We
also
love
had
this.
Another competition. Yeah. Well, my cow. Okay, so just to give you a little bit of background, I am a plus size cowgirl. Okay, but you wouldn't know by how much I get myself out there and do things. You wouldn't know that there's like a limiting factor. But then I moved to this state to try to go to the Olympics. And so I have actually represented the United States like 5 times in different countries as a heavyweight fighter.
Really?
Well, then really?
There's also...
Oh, wait a minute. Stop, stop, stop. All right. Now, you can't just throw that out there and go on. So so we need to talk about that a little bit. So when what kind of fighter? Tell us about it.
Well, it's Olympic Taekwondo. There's like sensors on your feet and there's sensors on your chest protector. And each weight division, as you increase in weight, you have to increase with how hard you kick. Fights can be up to three-minute rounds. So that's 9 rounds of continuous fighting. It's who has the most points at the end of it wins. However, it's full contact. So if you knock them out, you win no matter what the point spread is. If they can't control the bleeding within 60 seconds, you win by TKO.
That's something I didn't think I'd hear this morning.
I didn't know controlling the bleeding was an Olympic event.
I'm scared right now.
Well, I didn't ever make it to the Olympics, but I got to do some amazing things. Like I've been to Italy, Scotland, Puerto Rico, Aruba. One time the World Championships was held in the United States. So
Brandy,
anyways,
please tell me you get the cool.
I'm
sorry, but we're off topic now. It's our show. We can do that. Please tell me you get cool names like the other fighters. So was it Brandy Badass Von Holten?
Oh, no. But, you know, it's funny. Okay, I'll tell you something. Okay, my fight name, but it was just amongst friends, was Glamour with the Hammer.
That's
great.
I absolutely love it.
Yeah.
That's terrific.
But I did used to tell everybody if they put an A in my last name, I would kick their A. So there you go.
Oh, Denise, you're in trouble.
I'm going to be hiding now. I'm glad you're a long way away from me, Brandy.
Yeah, well, that's a good question we didn't bring up. Where is the farm? We should have talked about that first.
Well, these country tough competitions. So, you know, I have that in my background, but then I also compete in like pie baking competitions. And then my husband's the same way, where he used to race dirt bikes, and it just seemed like nobody was giving us, I don't know, like my, and I was a school teacher for 11 years. So my school teacher friends could never see me fighting. My fighter friends could never see me being a school teacher. So whenever I created those cowgirl challenges, it was because basically nobody could ever see you as the full person that you are. So those cowgirl challenges, I had those ladies compete in like trailer backing, cooking. They had to do a written test, barrel racing, obstacles, roping, jumping. So I have them compete in like 8 events. The country tough one that I formed for the men, that's this year going to happen in October. This right here, my husband is more of a leisure, trail rider, you know, and he'll ride with me maybe once every week and a half, 2 weeks. And that's if he's got enough time to, but then my husband, who is like he's about 100 pounds smaller than I am, man, I would put him up against anybody whenever it comes to like stacking hay or fixing tractors or anything like that.
All right. Well, so, what are the men going to have to do? What are the competitions for the men?
Well, this men, I have made it to where you do not have to be a quote unquote cowboy with a horse. There is a farmhand challenge that has 5 divisions. There's a ranch hand challenge that has 5 divisions, and that's all from the horse. Or the all-around cowboy has to compete in everything, all 10 events, all 5 ranch hand and 5 top farmhand. So the farmhand, here we go. There's a division called I Can Drive That, where they're going to have to do something with a standard truck, a tractor, a skid steer, and a riding lawnmower.
Yeah. That's awesome.
And is there a barbecue grill at the end? Because
well,
that'd just be perfect.
This has got to be on Fox Sports.
Hilarious.
I'm telling you, Jen, don't you think we need to send our fellows out to compete in this?
Oh, this is awesome.
This is my kind of competition.
Glenn, we're putting you on a plane.
I wouldn't have to saddle anything. It'd be great.
Well, yeah. This right here, I made sure and I trademarked Country Tough because I believe that this is going to grow like wildfire. I have four people that have contacted me about hosting state championships next year in 2018, which will make ours a nationals. I've talked to competitors from Canada about coming in, so we might even have an international presence at the first one at like ground zero. But oh my gosh, like this is so, I've had two men come and talk to me about this that had part of an arm missing, but they were so excited about this because I was just like, yeah, wouldn't you like to compete in this so you can give everybody a middle finger and be like, hey, screw you. I'm still able to function. You know what I mean? Like so many people probably just look at them and think things. And a lot of my cowgirl challenges and my country tough, it's like, real usefulness, you know.
I'm looking at what was this was a cowgirl and cowboy challenge. So let's give everybody an idea. The first thing was Pony Express, required two competitors from each team, and the team will ride through the woods to retrieve two items and then switch off. So it's that kind of Pony Express kind of idea, which I love. Modified horseshoes, this is a shortened version of traditional horseshoes, so you play horseshoes. Camping breakfast, you actually bring your best dish and you're judged on food, which is always good, which reminds me we're going to be eating here shortly, so I'm getting hungry. And then the skid steer, and you have to move things with the skid steer and stuff. I'm not ever sure I ever drove a skid steer. I think I'd be wrecking.
That would be really
that
interesting.
The side of the barn is what that would be happening. That must be hilarious, though, watching people who've never done that before do it.
Well, no, people prep for these things. One of my cowgirl challenges this year, I have a bullwhip sponsor. Oh, that's going to be some hot pictures. I cannot wait. Those girls are going to be like cracking the heck out of those bullwhips.
Do you have a medical team handy? I see some black eyes.
Now, with the teams, how large is a team that competes together? Like when for the team event?
They can be two, three, or four members, okay? If it's a two-person member, then everybody has to divide the equine events and non-equine events up equally. If it's a three-person team, then one person has to double up on the equine events, and it can't be the same person that doubles up on events for the non-equine, because I didn't want one person to come in and rule the roost. I really want this to be a team competition where it's the best team, not the best person that's pulling the rest of their team.
This is a really good idea for horse husbands too, because,
it really is.
You know, because we go to shows and we watch, you know, I'm a horse husband. So we go to shows and you watch and you help and you groom and you do things like that, but you're not really participating. This way, there's something for the whole family to do, right? And it will make the horse husband more interested in going to the competition. So it's just perfect that way. I think it's great. What a neat idea.
I did something to add a twist to it. Is there's eight events in those cowgirl cowboy challenges. My country tough has 10, but the cowgirl and cowboy challenges have eight divisions, and I take your best seven out of eight. So if you have let's say that you have a person in your family, like someone that's older, that's no longer a rider, you can just scratch their horse division, and then they could come and like rock some horseshoes or rock the cooking portion. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So there's even another little element of how to work the system.
I think it's great. What a terrific idea. Denise, do you know how big this would be with your community down here?
I think
here
this
in
would
Ocala?
Be, yeah, because, you know, it's perfect for example, the trail rider, the cow people, you know, it's the hey, y'all watch this group.
That's true.
Because I can totally see that happening. I would love to do this myself. I could see where you could have enough events. You could, like a husband and wife could do it, or a whole family, like she was saying, you know, the wife, the kids, everybody. Just definitely something that I'd love to watch it on TV.
This is in Mora. What state are you in again?
We're
in Missouri. We are 14 miles away from Sedalia. Sedalia is where the state fair is at. So we are only 45 minutes off of a major highway or interstate. We're off of I-70, 45 minutes. And we're towards the northern part of Missouri, which makes us just about centrally located for United States. I love our location for hosting these large events. We got to host the Great American Trail Horse Festival in 2015 with AXA. We had people from 20 states and 3 countries show up.
Wow.
What and it's fun. Because of our, we have a good location.
Well, we're running out of time. This is June 3rd and 4th, 2017. You have to go to the website to get more information. It is Von, V-O-N, Holten, H-O-L-T-E-N, ranch.com. You'll find all the information out there about the facilities. It's a beautiful facility, too. There's trail ridings and weddings and an event barn. And I was looking at some of the pictures, and it's just a beautiful place. Thank you so much. Now, the one thing I don't advise you to do when you're out there is to give Brandy any crap at all, because she'll kick your ass while you're there. Yeah. She you don't have to worry about that, do you? You got that covered. There's no bouncers needed. Brandy's there.
Yes. Yes, we're just going to call her Badass Brandy,
right? What was
the
nickname? Yeah, Badass Brandy. I like that. Although I liked her other nickname, too.
Something with a hammer.
Glamour with the hammer.
Yes.
Glamour.
Glamour with a hammer.
I like that.
I love it.
Brandy, you're a lot of fun. Thank you so much. Yes. I can see why these are popular.
All right.
Take care.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Brandy.
Uh-huh.
Bye.
Badass Brandy. I like that better, actually.
I do too.
You know, she walked right by that. I was going, I'm not letting that go.
I know. It's just too perfect a name for her.
I mean, how many times do we get people on that have done that? I mean, never.
Never. She is so fascinating. I just felt like I wanted to hear a lot more about what she's got going on.
Jennifer just said, I totally want to go to ranch hand competitions. Me too.
I know.
Me too.
We need to get her down here and to get some of those started here in Ocala.
Well, now, what we're going to do now is I'm going to play the commercial. And then while I'm playing the commercial, I'm going to run out and get the taste testing set up while you bring Jill on and start the conversation with Jill. Okay. I have to make sure Jennifer gets her taste test and I get mine.
Okay. Anything for food.
Anything for food, because we love, and I'm hungry too. So this is perfect. I love having Jill on.
In the world of horse racing and elite equestrian sports, it's all about how to prepare and repair. IceVibe is a truly portable and highly efficient circulation therapy system for your horse. Before activity, prepare to prevent damage by using the IceVibe's vibration pads. Repair after the event by using the unique combination of cold packs and vibration to minimize swelling and encourage blood flow. And because it's battery powered, IceVibe is truly portable. The essential and affordable tool to prepare and repair. IceVibe.
Oh, and our next guest this morning is Jill with Cowgirl in the Kitchen. Jill is author of several Cowgirl cookbooks, and she's coming on today to tell us about making Cowgirl coleslaw. She's going to share that recipe with us. Are you with us?
I've got some right here.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. I know, I heard y'all scrambling in the kitchen. Is Jill with us?
I'm here.
Ready.
Good morning, Jill. How are you?
Good morning, Denise. I'm just fine, and welcome back, Glenn. I missed you last month.
I know. He was...
But I think he's still gathering up the taste test, isn't he?
Yes, he is. He's in the kitchen.
He's microwaving this moment, yeah.
So, Jill, you've been traveling.
I'm dying to know. Yeah, I have been traveling. I got back from Ellensburg, Washington on Sunday after doing an absolutely wonderful cowgirl poetry song and book signing at the John Clymer Museum and Gallery up there. We had the best time. Kathy Moss and Laurelee Northcott and Robin Green, the photographer, and myself were all there, and it was terrific. And best of all, they've asked us back for next year.
Yay!
Wonderful.
I know, that's going to be a big deal. We're starting to put it together now. We're going to turn it into not only... Are we going to continue doing the poetry readings? And it's during their time in Ellensburg called Spirit of the West. And they have cowboy poetry all over town. And it is the cutest little town you ever saw in your life. It's very historic, little two-story buildings made out of brick. And they've really capitalized on that. It's just as cute as can be. So we decided that it's one thing, we'll be the cowgirl poetry, because mostly, you know, it's cowboy poetry. But we're also going to have a contest. We're going to ask people who have never published their poetry before, women, cowgirls, to send in their entries, and we'll have a judge, and we'll have a little trophy, and they get to go and stand at the mic and recite what they've got in their hearts. I'm really looking forward to that. I think that's a good pay it forward, don't you think?
Oh, definitely. Jennifer, we should both enter.
Well,
no, nobody wants to hear what I have in my heart. No.
You might be surprised.
She's lived with me for 30 years. That'll give you an indication.
It might be a good limerick, if nothing else.
A haiku. It'll be a haiku.
Family event.
So Jennifer's in
good,
there.
Good to hear your voice. And everybody doing a taste test this morning? This is making me very nervous.
This is
as nerve-wracking as when we did the live television thing last month, where we had to make the very same recipe that I sent to you.
Oh, did you?
Happily,
really?
Nobody fell down on the floor gagging.
Well, now, how could they?
Well, now, tell us
about... Well, you never know. I mean...
Tell us about this recipe that you've got for us this week.
All right. I sent in a recipe. Full disclosure. It was going to be, I'm trying to do this seasonally, and that just fell completely to pieces. I sent Denise Jones Chili Rellenos, which has been a big favorite around here among my friends and the readers, and she wrote me that she couldn't cook that because her husband doesn't like chilies. And so I said, oh, heck, I'm going to have to send you something else. So I sent her the Cowgirls coleslaw that goes on top of the slow cooker beer and barbecue pulled chicken sliders, because the coleslaw is good for anything practically year round. Then she said, I'd like to have the recipe for the pulled chicken sliders, and I sent that. And I don't know if she cooked the chicken, but you can always do that. But the coleslaw is always delicious. It's crisp, it's sweet, it's good on top of, you can put it on top of a hamburger, actually. It doesn't even have to be pulled chicken or pork. Well, so, Denise, did you make it?
Well, I didn't want to tell Glenn and Jennifer that the chicken is at home in the crock pot, because...
Apparently, we don't get the chicken.
But you had to spill the beans on that, didn't you, Jill?
But, yeah, I did. I'm sorry.
But I did bring them the coleslaw. I brought coleslaw here, and the recipe was very easy. I loved how easy it was. The ingredients are simple. They're easy to find. Nothing complicated. I'm not a big fan of peeling things, so I didn't peel the apple like I was supposed to. But
and that's perfectly okay.
Well, real quick through the recipe? And Jennifer actually has some. She's going to try it for the first time on the air with us, some of this Denise made. So go ahead.
Okay, here I go. You're going to need a half a cup of sour cream, a quarter of a cup of mayonnaise, a half a cup of apple juice. You can add a little more to taste if you want. A teaspoon of dill weed. That's optional. Some people like dill, some don't. You can leave it out, and it really won't make a huge difference. You could put in dried parsley, or you could even chop up a little cilantro if you'd prefer. Salt and pepper to taste. You're going to need 3 cups of thinly shredded cabbage. And a hint is, if you put the shredded cabbage in cold water in the refrigerator for about an hour and then drain it well, pat it dry, before making the coleslaw, the cabbage will stay very crisp. Then you're going to need 2 tablespoons of finely diced red onion or white sweet onion, 1 large tart sweet apple, peeled and diced. Now, I've just heard that somebody didn't peel it. I hate peeling apples, too, and I don't think that's going to make a huge difference. And then you need 1 carrot peeled and shredded. Save the shreds for your horse. In a large salad bowl, combine the sour cream, the mayonnaise, the apple juice, the dill weed, and the salt and pepper to taste. And you can put that back in the icebox and let all those flavors get ready to know one another. Then you mix the cabbage, the onion, the apple, and the carrot into the sauce. Refrigerate it again for at least 4 hours to allow the ingredients to blend together. We did that live on television last month in Portland, and the cameraman and the hostess of the television program and the director came out of her booth, and everybody just fell on it and said, this is the best coleslaw I've ever eaten in my life. One of the things you can change if you don't want to mess around with an apple is you can put chopped celery in it instead. I think the key to cowgirl cooking is read a recipe, try it once, and say to yourself, you know, I think the next time I'm going to add, put, you know, insert ingredient of your choice. That's really, you know, you've got to be free and easy with this whole thing. You can't simply be tied to, you know, doing it exactly the way it says. Make it your own.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. Everybody...
So did you make it exactly like it says here, Denise?
Aside from the peeling the apple.
Now, you know, is there usually apple in coleslaw?
No.
No. I was going to say that makes a little different.
Nor is there apple juice.
I was going to ask that too, because that stuck out to me.
That's right.
Yeah.
I don't like apple cider. I never have. And I don't like vinegar. I never have. For that reason, I've always found coleslaw to be just a little too sharp. And I think it can be a little sweeter and a little more delicious. Then when you put it on top of either slow-cooked barbecued chicken, like she's going to do tonight, or on top of pork, it makes a really good slider. It gives you all kinds of, well, there's just all sorts of good things going on in your mouth.
Oh, yes. Definitely.
All right. Well, let's stop there. You've sold it enough. Now let's let Jennifer give it a try here on the air and see how it goes.
All right.
And okay. While she's doing that, mm-hmm. going to give us the report. I'm not a big fan of coleslaw, so Denise's husband actually made one of my favorite dishes ever, and that's shepherd's pie. And she brought me some, so I've been eating that while we're talking, and it's very, very good. Thank Bill for me.
I really
love shepherd's pie.
Is it made with lamb?
No. My other half's a basic cook.
Yeah, it's made the way I like it, with actual beef.
He would be terrified of lamb.
Yeah.
And mashed potatoes on top.
Yeah, it's got the mashed potatoes, and it's got the it's got all the vegetables I like: carrots, peas, green beans.
Oh my!
Yeah, it's
goodness,
got all the basics. I'm kind of basic that way.
It's such a simple recipe.
Yeah, I do make it occasionally. Only mine's a little bit spicier. He doesn't like very spicy stuff. I will put chilies and maybe a little garlic
that.
In and
really?
Everything. Yeah. All right, Jennifer. What's the verdict? I haven't heard anything.
Da da da.
Okay, when I saw that there was going to be apples in the coleslaw, I was a little bit concerned, because that's stepping out, because I'm used to good old-fashioned kind of Germanic coleslaw.
Uh-huh.
And I must say, this is excellent coleslaw.
Yay!
I'm so glad to hear that. Yay!
The apples bring a lot to the party.
They really do.
They really do. They add an extra crunch and a little bit of sweetness. And I just think it's an awfully good recipe. It's so simple. But isn't that what cowgirl cooking is all about? Keep it simple and keep it good.
Yes, it is.
Keep everybody happy.
Now I'm surprised that the dill is not more prominent. The dill is very, very subtle.
That's true. And if you really like dill, a lot of people do, you can add a little bit more. All of this is to taste. You have to... You know, you just keep putting your finger, that's what I do, put your finger in the sauce and then lick your finger and say, I think I could add a little bit more of this, or I could add a little bit more of that. You know, I cut back on the salt a little bit and added just a little bit more dill when I make it. But
yeah, the dill has a very salty-like sensation in your mouth, which is why it's important it's there. So if you take the dill out altogether, you're going to want to put a little salt in, or... celery also has that same salty sensation in your mouth.
Does.
So if you
it
don't
does.
Like dill, like you said, use the celery. Also, exactly. When you made it, Denise, did you use mayonnaise or did you use Miracle Whip?
Mayonnaise. I can't stand Miracle Whip.
Because they taste very different.
Yeah. Yes.
Because the Miracle Whip is kind of, and I don't think that would fit at all.
No, it would have competed.
Whip brings its own flavor to whatever you're doing, and you have to be prepared for that.
Right.
If you're trying to work with carrot and apple and or celery and cabbage, the mayonnaise will simply complement it. You can also substitute for the pepper lemon pepper. That will give you a completely different taste that I think would be probably pretty good in the summertime too.
Now, you know,
I love lemon pepper. I've always liked lemon pepper.
Is this in your book, Jim?
But I never put it in a recipe. No, I don't say that in the book. I'm that's just
no. I meant is the recipe in the book? Is the recipe in the book?
It's in her newest book, right, Jill?
Of course it is.
Okay.
Yes, it is. It's both in the Cowgirls Cookbook. That's the original cookbook that was written, I think, 8-9 years ago. And you have that one, Glenn. You'll
right.
see it.
Yep.
In that, and this is in by request in the new Cowgirls in the Kitchen. What? And then we put it in. It's actually on the cover of the book, that pulled barbecued chicken slider topped with the Cowgirls coleslaw, and we used the barbecue sauce that's also in the original book. So three things combined to make one awfully good, we think, slider. They're really delicious. And there's no fat. If you use the chicken, there's no fat like there is in pork. It's actually quite good for you.
I'm going to be reporting that tonight to you when we chat on Facebook.
Excellent.
And recap our talk today.
Good. Good. Good.
Well, this is
and
good.
Are you going to be posting? I'm so glad. But I want to know from Denise about that plane. I'm haunted by that upside down plane.
I am so sorry that disturbed you.
Well, it didn't disturb me to the point where I have nightmares. I'm just horrified that it's still there. Do you think there's a ghost?
I don't know. Did you notice in my picture that it has
situation.
Shadows? And did you
it
think?
Yeah, but all
shimmering.
Of Florida has shadows.
I was trying it to was like not. I was squinting and looking at the picture after I took it. You know, because sometimes people say, you know,
yeah.
you see the sight, yeah. you see the ghost, but I couldn't make it out. Could you, Jill?
No, I didn't see the ghost, but that picture shimmered. It had
yes.
there was a light to it that I found. Maybe that's what I was looking at when I was looking at it. I'm not a very good flyer, number one. So when I see a plane that's gone down, you see, my gut instinct says, see, I told you, you should never be up in the air in the first place.
No, but apparently
you know,
that fella made that plane himself. So the moral here is don't make your own plane.
Well,
and fly
look,
in
John
it.
Denver could tell you that too. The same
yeah.
thing happened with him. Now, all right, we've talked a lot about this plane that Denise found in the woods, the crashed airplane. Jennifer, you're going to have to get the picture off of Denise's page and put it on Horses in the Morning because
yes.
Everybody's going to want to see it now.
And you know, guys, it's only about 15 minutes from your house. So I just need to take Jennifer over there and show it to her live in person.
She hates flying anyway. I don't think that's a good
okay,
idea.
All right, never
no,
mind.
We'll pass on that. Jill, where can people find the cookbooks? Where can they find your books?
You can find the cookbook on Amazon.com. You can just type in the words Cowgirls in the Kitchen, and Amazon will bring it right up. And if you're a Prime member, you get it with free shipping. And I think they've still got a really good price on it, too. Or you can go to my website and see all my other books. If you're interested in the other ones, the other two cookbooks that I've written, you can go to www.JillCharlotte.com. Click on the cover and read the reviews. Click on the cover, and that'll take you directly.
Okay,
to
how
Amazon
can they
too.
Possibly have your book on there? I just went. Cowgirls in the Kitchen is Prime at $2.87.
I know, it's kind of shocking, isn't it? I know. If you,
it's
if you
a
go
hard
to a
cover.
Bookstore, you're going to be paying.
You know what?
It's a hardcover book with all kinds of pictures, but apparently Amazon
you know
and
what?
My publisher
you
got together.
You could do this for Mother's Day and look like a rock star, like you spent a lot of
like
money.
You spent a lot
these,
of money,
these
yeah.
books are
and
actually beautiful.
Never, ever tell.
Yeah,
never
these are
tell.
Coffee
tell.
Table books.
Yes,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
Mother's Day is coming, y'all.
$2.87.
I think, yeah, it sure is. Right around the corner. And there's some good stuff in there that mothers would like to cook as well. Even if your mom isn't a cowgirl, there's good stuff to cook in there for sure.
Super easy recipes.
Oh, so you don't have to cook in your cowboy boots? That's not required?
Well, no, you'd. You don't have to be a cowboy or a cowgirl to cook any of these recipes.
All right, good.
But if you have the spirit, you're going to like it a lot.
Okay, good.
The spirit is
I don't own cowboy boots.
Easy, simple, yeah.
You can just play one
really?
In the kitchen.
Yeah, no, I don't own. I own many cowboy hats, but I can't do cowboy boots. They're just
that's all
like
right. when I did the television thing in Portland, I was very happy to discover that they could only see me from the waist up, and I didn't have to go stomping around in my boots in downtown Portland. So I had on loafers.
Jill joins us.
That's really the easy way.
Jill joins us on the Western episode every month, which is always the fourth Thursday of the month. We appreciate you stopping by. Go search for Cowgirls in the Kitchen, recipes, tales, and tips from home on the range. It really is, with Prime, only $2.87 for a hardcover.
What a bargain. It's amazing. I'm just amazed. It's a beautiful book.
It really is.
I hope everybody enjoys it. I'm looking forward to talking to you next week, and I'll be next month, and I'll be sending off the recipe, and I'll be sure that there's no chilies in it, Denise.
Okay.
Well, if there is, send it to me. I'll make it. I love chilies.
I should have made that recipe.
Well, I will actually.
I
will send you Joan's chili rellenos because I do think they're wonderful.
We love chilies. So,
I really like them.
All right. Good. Mm-hmm. Cool. Very good. Thank you, Jill.
These are not hot.
Appreciate it.
All right.
Thank you, Jill.
Have a great day, everybody.
You
right on. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
She's so sweet.
She really is. And she does so many fun things.
Yeah.
And she's really getting out there with those cookbooks.
$2. How can you do a hardcover book of any kind for
$2? Now, is that the newest one?
Is that Cowgirls in the Kitchen.
Really?
September 2016.
That's amazing because it is a beautiful book. It's a hardcover. It's just a nice...
I hope she makes some money from it because, I'd hate to...
Yeah.
Yeah, because at $2, you're going, does poor Jill make any money?
She's
going
to have to sell a lot of books, but at that price, maybe she will.
I don't know how all that works. I don't know how that whole system works. But, geez, I hope she does, because that's a really good price.
It is.
We have a couple of things, and we're going to wrap up this Western episode. If you want to check out the past episodes on the Western side, then you just go to horsesinthemorning.com and just search for Western, and it'll bring up all of our past episodes. We're here the fourth Thursday of every month. A couple programming notes for the rest of the week. This is the last live show until a week from tomorrow. We're going to have shows for you. They're just not going to be live. So we will put those out on the feed. You'll get those on your normal players. Or if you listen on Horses in the Morning on our app, you'll find them in there. So we have shows planned for the rest of this week. Now, Friday and Sunday, we will have special shows we're recording at Rolex. So we'll be at the Rolex 3-day event. And we'll be doing shows Friday morning and Sunday morning. I'm sure we'll have lots of listeners on because there's lots of listeners going, and we're going to be meeting there. I also will post on Horses in the on the Horse Radio Network main site. I'll post all the meetups. I'll post those all on the website there. There's also a listener page if you're going to Rolex. Just search for HRN at Rolex. There's a meeting page that we have started there that have all the meetups. We hope to see you at them. We've been announcing them, so I don't think I need to do it again. But we hope to see you there on Friday or Saturday. Do pack your country boots from Ovation, because 2 weeks ago it looked like beautiful weather. Now they're calling for 60 to 90% chance of rain every day.
Oh, no.
Every day. So bring your raincoats. It gets chilly when it rains there. I know it says it's going to be 80, but it'll be chilly. And definitely bring your boots.
And bring some of that rain back. If you go there and it's raining,
yes,
please bring it back to
Florida.
We
haven't had rain in months. It's been crazy.
It's
We're
been
really
miserable.
Dry.
Yes.
Yeah, our grass is dying. Everything's sad here. But definitely bring your rain gear, and we all look forward to seeing you. Thank you so much, Denise, for joining us again today.
Thank you. It's always fun.
We always have a good time when Denise stops by. And of course, Denise is our guest wrangler. So if you want to be a guest on the show, or if you know somebody that would make a great guest or has a great story of any kind, she books for many of our shows. So just drop her an email at guest@horseradionetwork.com, and that'll get you to Denise.
Yes, I'll be happy to field those inquiries.
And we're making some changes on the Stable Scoop show that we're going to announce this week that really would be interesting if we got some emails from people.
Sure.
So we'll talk about that on the Stable Scoop show as well. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Jennifer. Thank you for cooking, and thank Bill for me.
I sure
ate it all.
Will.
Look, there's none gone.
Yes,
there's
yes,
none left.
Yes, you did. It's glory underneath that
yeah.
table.
Really, oh, no, I never give away Shepherd's Pie.
Okay.
No,
okay.
I never give. There is a place, and Jennifer, remember this, there's a place, and I can't remember what it's called, the pub in Lexington, Kentucky, that we'll be going to because they have unbelievable shepherd's pie. It's an Irish pub. And they
see if you
really
can talk them out of the recipe.
It's hot.
Is it?
Yeah, Bill won't like it.
I will.
Oh, yeah, you'd like it because it's got some spice to it.
Sure.
But it's so good. It really is good. All right. Thank you, everybody. Talk to you soon.
Have a great day.